This is The Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 17.
Welcome to The Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to The Side Hustle Show. This is episode 17, and Benny Hsu is in the building dropping knowledge bombs all up in your earbuds. We're going to be talking about app development and get the inside scoop on how Benny made $30,000 in 30 days on the iStore or on the App Store while still working full-time. It's a powerful story about overcoming self-doubt and several side hustle failures to taking chances and making something happen to live the life that you've wanted. But before we get started, a couple shouts for new iTunes reviews. Dallas Trepp says 5 stars, perfect, which even I think is a little bit of hyperbole. Josh says, great to hear from these people who have achieved success on their own terms, and that's what it's all about. And David from thepowerofparttime.tv says, as a fellow side hustler and 5-to-9 warrior, I love the show and everything it represents. So thank you guys so much for your support. And as always, if you want to be like them and get your very own shout out, you know what to do. SideHustleNation.com/iTunes. 5 stars, baby. And with that, let's get right into it. There's a lot of links and resources mentioned in this episode. All of those can be found at SideHustleNation.com/episode17. All right, Benny, welcome to The Side Hustle Show.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you for having me.
So Benny is a super inspirational guy for Side Hustle Nation to get to know. He's a blogger at GetBusyLivingBlog.com, an entrepreneur and an iPhone app developer. He's most famous for earning $30,000 in 30 days as on the App Store, and that's just huge. But I would take it back to the beginning because I have the feeling this may be an overnight success, 4 or 5 years in the making. So let's can you kind of bring us back what it took to get to that point?
Oh yeah, definitely. It took a long time because for the longest time I've been sort of stuck in my life. You know, after college, I did what the typical person usually does, is like, I got a job, I was making money, I bought a house, had a car, and I thought I was supposed to be happy and life was supposed to be great. But life wasn't so great from the inside. From the outside, it looked okay, but just something was missing from my life, and I just didn't know how to get rid of that feeling. I didn't know how to become happier. And I think a lot of it was my work, because the work was not fulfilling. I was working in the family restaurant business.
Okay.
I grew up in the business, but I never thought it was something I would do after college or as a career. But I just sort of stumbled upon it because I didn't know what to do after college. And I just thought, well, I'll just start working in the restaurant, make a little bit of money. It's something to do. And for the first few years, I really enjoyed it. It was fine. It was good. I was making good money. But then it just slowly started like eating away inside, like, this is not what I want to do. I really don't like what I have to do. I don't like the hours. I don't like the schedule, working holidays, weekends, with working nights. So I was just trying, like, what else can I do? And I've tried online businesses before, because I've always spent a lot of time online, and I just thought maybe I can do an online business. And then I started different things, like creating affiliate websites or niche websites, and buying Google AdWords traffic, and starting blogs, just all with the hopes of making money. But all those attempts at making money failed pretty quickly because I just lost interest. I lost interest, and then when I wasn't, making $1,000 a day, the first 30 days or something like that, I got discouraged, and I'm like, this sucks. I don't want to keep going.
Yeah, it can be a long, hard road.
It is. And if you're not passionate about it, it's going to be so easy to give up. And, I was only focused on making money. Like, what can I do to make money? It's not like, well, what I want to do that is interesting to me that could make money for me. So, I went through, a period of my time of life where I just was struggling. And then October 2010, around there, I was coming home from a night of work again. And it was just really frustrated with my life and just really upset with myself for wasting so many years just wishing and hoping and not doing anything. And then finally, I was just like, you know, I got to do something because I'm getting older. I'm just wasting my life. So I came home and I typed this letter to myself on my computer, and I taped a copy on my bathroom mirror and a copy like right above my computer. So I would see it every single day, and it was like a reminder to myself, like, you know, this is your life. You got to do something about it. Take action. Stop wasting time. It was just something that just reminded me every day that I need to get busy living.
Is that what the letter said?
Yeah, basically it's a general idea. It was just, you know, I didn't curse at myself. I wasn't like, you know, angry. It was just like, hey, you know, stop wasting your life. This is what you have to do. You deserve to be happy. You know, take action. And just things like that, just kind of something to get me going.
Okay.
And after that, it was just like, it was like, you know, a new chapter of my life. You know, the next day when I woke up, I was like, you know, all right, you know, this is it. You know, I'm going to do it. And, I still had my job. You know, I wasn't going to quit anytime soon because I had bills to pay. I had a mortgage. But, you know, I felt better. I started like, okay, I started feeling hopeful that I could do it. Okay. And then, you know, developing an app was sort of, you know, that came from that because I started looking at online businesses again. Like, what can I do? And I've had an iPhone. I think it had been out for, I think, a couple years at that point, 1 or 2 years, I'm not sure. And, you know, I've had it since day one. I love my iPhone. Uh-huh. And earlier in the year, I thought, you know, maybe I can do an app, you know, because I had an idea for an app already. But then I thought, well, I need to learn how to program. And then so I started picking up books. I looked online to start learning, and every time I started, I just stopped right away because it was so confusing. it was like learning like Russian, you know. It is
learning a completely new language.
It is. It truly is. And I thought, man, I don't have time to learn all this. You know, it's going to take me years to learn it to get really, really good at it. So, you know, I put my idea to a side, and then after October, I started getting more serious about changing my life, and I came across Pat Flynn's blog, Smart Passive Income.
Okay.
Which I'm sure many of your listeners know about.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and I saw his blog and I read his story. I was hooked. And I found out that he had an iPhone app company with a buddy, and they both outsourced all the work. And I thought, well, if Pat could do it and he's making good money from it, then I could do it. I could hire someone to do it for me. I know how to do that. But yeah, so that's basically how I got started in the iPhone app.
Okay.
World.
Okay. Yeah, I love this commentary on, you know, from the outside looking in, it was a good life, you know, the house and the car and the job, and kind of almost this feeling of guilt, like, why am I being just greedy and selfish for not being happy when,
exactly,
you know, probably 99% of the world should be jealous of me at this point. You know, I've definitely been there. I think a lot of people have been there. And that what was the documentary from Adam Baker that they put out?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I'm fine, thanks. Is that right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Super, super good movie. Just really kind of resonated with me.
Yeah, that was a great documentary, and it's, you know, a lot of people don't really understand. Like, well, you have money, you have a job, you should be happy. You know, this what's wrong with your life? But some people just don't understand. Like, it could be, you know, it could be miserable inside.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you found Smart Passive Income and got excited about the App Store as kind of Pat's passive income stream and his outsourcing the development of it. And we'll link up to his podcast interview or podcast episode where he kind of shares the details of how he went about going through that app, because that was an excellent episode. But okay, so did you have an idea for the app at this point, or where did the idea come from?
Yeah, I did. It came from an app I had been using that year, earlier that year. It was a same idea as Photo 365. It was just taking a photo a day, taking a picture, and then saving one per day.
Okay.
And I had used it for a couple months, and I just noticed, like, you know, the app's really cool, but it just, the design of it was very boring. It was very plain. It was like just black and white. And I mean, I could tell it was created by a programmer, but had no design background.
Okay.
So I thought, okay, you know, maybe I can improve on this app. Maybe I just at least make the design look better, because I know at that point, you know, in the App Store, you know, people were expecting, you know, they still are expecting really nice looking apps. They want good functions, but they also want good looking apps.
Right. The iPhone is a beautiful interface, so it's got to complement that you know, that look and feel.
Exactly. And when I looked in the app store to see what other apps were in this market, there weren't really that many. And all of them really didn't, you know, have the, you know, they weren't really focused on design.
Okay.
And
okay.
So that's where I got my idea from. I thought, you know, well if I'm going to do an app, I'm going to do this app because I love taking photos on my iPhone because I always have it with me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to, you know, keep it really simple and keep the feature simple on it and then just make it look a lot better. So that's where my idea came from, basically. It was from using another app.
Okay, cool. So that's, I think, a really important point to make, too, is not necessarily you don't need to have an original idea. You can just do incremental improvements on something that's already out there. That's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the best ways to approach the app store is to find out what's working in the app store. Like you want to find like a market that I guess like you want to find that your idea has already been done, because that tells you that there's a market for your app. So if you have this idea for an app and then you go and look and no one has done it, that could actually be a bad thing, because that may tell you that no one really wants an app that does that.
Okay. Yeah. And that's kind of the thing. Well, every good idea has already been taken, but it's like, well, what if you could improve on that without having to completely reinvent the wheel?
Exactly. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just make improvements. You can find out what to improve and how to improve. Maybe you can make it a little bit more simple. I mean, there's some apps, you know, in certain markets that are bloated with a ton of features, and maybe you can just make a really basic version that, you know, have features that people really want and not all these extra bells and whistles that people don't really need.
Okay. So you're going to build the Photo 365 app, a one picture a day app, and improve on, you know, the existing stuff that's out there. But at this time, you're still working full time and you don't know how to code the app yourself. So what's your next step?
The next step was just to learn about how to outsource, because at that point I had no idea that you could outsource work. I just thought you could hire like virtual assistants overseas. So I learned like where to outsource, how to hire, how to prepare my app, like create wireframes, how to convey my idea to programmers and designers. And after I didn't learn everything I could, I just learned enough to get started.
Okay.
And I posted an ad on Elance.com, which is a really great website to go for looking for people to work. I posted an ad. I got a bunch of replies. I went through them. I looked at their portfolios. I looked at their past work history. I just sent some messages back and forth with certain ones that I was interested in. The ones that I had a better feeling about, I did more in depth. Like I treated it almost like an interview.
Okay.
Asking them questions about the app and the process and if they could do this, you know, that I wanted in my app. And then I showed them my idea. I showed them the wireframes and I gave them like the whole detail of my app, like what I wanted it to do.
Okay.
And then in the end, I just got like a few bids. I got, I think, two or three bids, and I settled on one bid just based on I felt like that company would do the best job for me.
Did you have to do any like non-disclosures at this point if you're worried about getting somebody stealing the idea?
Yeah, good question. At that time, I did do a non-disclosure because that's what I had learned like I should do. And so I had them sign it, and they were more than willing to sign it.
Okay.
But if I'm working with the same company again and I'm doing another app, I don't have them sign an NDA. I just figure I trust them already and they're not going to steal my idea.
Okay.
So I don't.
Okay. So where were your developers located?
This one was out of the Ukraine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a hotbed, like Eastern Europe, kind of a hotbed for app developers, right?
It really is. I have good luck with, I mean, finding ones from Eastern Europe. There's a lot from China and India, but I haven't had luck finding programmers from there. So
okay.
I like Eastern Europe.
Okay, very cool. So what was the bid for? How much did it cost?
Yeah, their bid was $1,900.
Okay.
Which was kind of like in the middle. I had a bid for $1,000 and a bid for $4,000 as well.
Okay, that's something I like to do on Elance too, is kind of eliminate the outliers, both high and low.
Yeah, yeah, and $1,900 at the time was a lot of money for me, but I felt like they could really do the app that I wanted, and I had a good sort of connection with them when just talking to them. So I thought 1900 was reasonable.
Yeah, this is it is kind of a leap of faith at this point because, you know, the software has been cheapened to such a level where, you know, it can only justify a 99 cent price or a $1.99 price. So it's really a volume based game.
Oh, yes, it definitely is.
Anything you would do differently in the hiring process or you've adjusted in the hiring since that first app?
In terms of hiring, I sort of have the same process pretty much. I mean, I definitely look at their portfolios. I want to see what types of apps they've worked on. I also look at the reviews from past clients and what they have said about them. If they're like new to Elance or Odesk, I kind of, you know, may give them like just talk to them a little bit, but I tend to not hire people who have never done work on those websites. You know, I want feedback from past clients.
Yeah, that's a little bit risky.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes like now sometimes if I'm like maybe hiring a designer, instead of hiring them for the full project, I'll have them maybe do like, you know, a couple hours of design work for me just so I can see if they understand what I'm looking for and if, you know, their work fits what I'm looking for. So it's just like a small little project. Maybe it's, you know, $100 or something. And then if it's good, then I'll move on with them. If not, you know, I'll pay them $100 and then look on, you know, look elsewhere. But yeah, I'm losing $100, but in the same time, I'm saving myself, you know, time and frustration in the long run. Cause I did an app before where I hired this designer, for the project. She did the work. And at the end of the work, when she was done, I looked at it and I was like, man, I hate this. I really don't like it. And I wasted money just, you know, because of it. I didn't even use it at all. I went and hired another designer to redo the whole design.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So at this point, we've invested $1,900 in building the app. And what comes next?
It was a long wait. It was. When I hired them, they said, yeah, this app will take about 1.5 months. And I thought, okay, that's good. But it ended up taking about 7 months to finish.
Wow.
So,
and did they end up jerking you around on price in the meantime?
No, not at all, which is really good. They didn't say, hey, you owe us more money.
Wow.
I think it's taking longer. Yeah, they were really cool with it. I didn't rush them. I wasn't like, hey, hurry up. Because it was my first app and I didn't want to upset them, I guess. So I didn't want them to send me an app full of bugs and not really their best work. So I just, all right, I'll let them take their time. So it ended up taking like 7 months. So it was released in August of 2011.
Wow. Was that just a case of they didn't fully understand the scope of it or they just ran into other technical issues or what kind of caused the delay, do you think?
I think it was a little bit on both sides. It was a little bit my fault and their fault. I know for me, like, when they would send like a version or when they would send something for me to look at and they needed my feedback, it would sometimes take me like a couple days to get back to them because I'm like, oh man, I got to look at through all this. I got to test out the app. It was okay. Quite a bit of work. You know, I was new to all this. So sometimes I would just be slow in giving feedback to them. And I think the other thing was they were working on other apps too, I imagine.
Right.
So I wasn't the only customer. So, you know, sometimes they could work a little bit here and there, and that's probably why it took so long in the end.
Okay. Is there a way to download it on your phone so you can see what it like really looks like, or are you using kind of a on computer emulator or something?
You mean download the app?
Yeah. Can you download it like before it's available to the public?
Oh yeah, definitely. You can have your programmer usually. There's this great service called TestFlight.com. Okay. And it's a lot of programmers use it now. It's a really easy way to send versions of the app to people to test out. So, for example, my programmer would set up a TestFlight account, email me with the invite. I would join like his project that he'd set up. And then every time like a version of the app was ready, he would just upload it to TestFlight. I would get an email notification that it was ready. I opened up TestFlight. It's like an app that's installed on your iPhone. You just open the app and then you'll see Photo 365, you know, install and you just click and it installs on your iPhone. It's really, really simple.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So now the app is complete. You've tested it. It's 7 months later. is there, what's the submission process like to get it into the App Store?
You first have to join the, it's like a membership fee. It's $99 per year. And that allows you the ability to sell in the App Store.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of a process to it. It's a little bit technical. So for the first app, for that one, I had them actually upload it for me. And a lot of programmers these days, they understand that, there's a lot of beginners doing apps. So they'll offer to upload the app for you to the App Store. Some do it for free, free of charge. Some charge you a little bit of a fee to do it. But if you're not technical at all, you can certainly have someone else do it for you and save you sort of the headache.
Okay. And they do it under your account. So you pay the membership fee and then they do it for you. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and so if they upload it for you, you have to give them your credentials, your login and your password. Some people aren't comfortable with that. It's up to you. If you want, you could change your password after they've done it. Apple really frowns upon that. So you don't want Apple to find out that you've given your login password to someone else. But I mean, they really won't, really. But
right.
Yeah, they won't, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're approved in the App Store. Total investment is up to $2,000. How do you find buyers, or do people just kind of discover the app naturally?
Well, for this one, it was definitely, people were just finding it naturally. Since it was my first app, I didn't really know how to market the app. I didn't know what to do. So once it was live in the App Store, I was excited, and I sent some tweets out to my small following, and then I put it on Facebook to my friends, and I was blogging at the time, but I didn't mention it on my blog at all.
Okay.
And I was just like, hey, I got this app, check it out. And I had some websites email me asking for a promo code to test it out, and I was more than happy to, because they wanted to write a review on it. So I did, and a lot of them, I looked at their websites, and there were smaller blogs, which was fine, but any press at the time was great to me. And I just sort of put it up there and just waited to see what would happen. And I started getting like hundreds of downloads actually the first few days, which was really, really surprising to me. It was a 99 cent app.
Okay.
So I was making, $200 to $300 a day. I was blown away. I would have been happy with just like $50 at that point.
Wow.
So it was a nice surprise.
Okay. So 99 cents, Apple is taking a 30% cut, right?
Correct.
Okay. And so are people searching for like photo apps? Like, is there some optimization that can be done inside the App Store? I'm curious just how these people were discovering it on their own.
Yeah, very good question. There's something called, I think some people call it ASO. It's App Store Optimization.
Uh-huh.
So what you can do, what you should do, is to focus on keywords. So Apple gives you 100 characters for your keywords. And so that's the maximum. And so you just type in certain keywords you want to try and get ranked for. So, of course, some keywords are going to be really competitive, and you're not going to be ranked in the top 5 or even 10 for a certain keyword. While others, you might be a little bit – you might do better. So, for example, if you type in now photo 365, my app is going to come up first. So if you type in project 365, which is another name for saving one photo a day, I think my app either comes up first or second.
Okay.
So so I know a lot of people are searching for, and there's other words that people might be searching for, like photo calendar, photo journal. So you want to think about like what people may use to search for your app, and then target those keywords. So besides the keywords, you also want to think about your app name, because the name of your app is really, really important for keyword searches. So you want to maybe target certain keywords in your app name. So I wouldn't, like, if I'm telling you, Nick, like, you're developing an app and you want to come up with a certain app, and you want to come up with like a cool and creative name, like some obscure name, I probably would say that's not a good idea, because that's such a important spot for keywords.
Right.
And if you're coming up with if you're coming up with some weird name, people aren't really going to find you as well. So I would say target keywords in your app name as well, but don't make it like spammy. Just make it sort of relevant to what your app is all about.
Okay. So similar to kind of like your title tag on your blog post, like that should be a good indicator of what, you know, the app is actually about.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. And so Alex Genadinic was on in episode 3, I believe, in another app developer, was talking about kind of building practical apps versus like for fun apps. And he gave the example, I think, with like Temple Run or Angry Birds or something. Like people looking for games like almost have to discover it through word of mouth or through something else because they have to search for it by name to find it. Versus kind of a useful or practical or nonfiction app or whatever you want to call it. Like it can be, you know, discovered through these different keyword searches.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And maybe people are willing to spend the money on it too. That's another important factor.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, non-game apps, people are more willing to spend if it does something really, really well and helps them, you know, it helps solve the problem for them. So they're more willing to pay. Games, you know, unless you have an Angry Birds or a Temple Run, you know, a lot of games people just download, play one or two times, and that's it. So,
right.
But, you know, if you have a non-game app, like, like I try with my app, Photo 365, I try to make an app where people will, you know, want to use it every single day. So they'll keep coming back and using it and using it.
Gotcha. Did you release a free version of that too?
I didn't, but actually I'm working on one now with my developers. We're going to come out with like a light version.
Okay.
So it's a way for people to try it out before buying the full version.
Okay. Yeah. Give them a month and get them hooked and then say you can upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a great way. It's the freemium model is so popular now in the App Store. People want to try out certain apps before they buy the full version of it. And, you know, my second app was a gratitude journal app. And I have a free version. I have a paid version, and it was out for a while. And it was doing okay, but sales were kind of dropping. And then I put out a light version as well, where people can use it for 7 days.
Okay.
And then after 7 days, if they try to write in another day, it'll say, "Hey, you know, you've used up 7 days. If you want to continue, upgrade." And you know, I found out conversion has been pretty good for it. Mm. So, yeah, having a light version definitely helps.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
In terms of marketing, it seems like so much is left to chance. You mentioned kind of on a couple of blogs about being featured in, I don't know, like the equivalent of like the podcast New and Noteworthy, like the app New and Noteworthy. Like aside from that, is there any action like an aspiring app salesman or saleswoman can take to kind of like gain some exposure?
Definitely. One really good way is to pitch your app to certain app review websites. There's a lot out there that review Apple products and Apple apps. For example, one is appadvice.com. They're okay. Really, really big. So, you know, if you have a new app and you feel like it's unique and different or it's useful, you can, you know, send them an email. You can find out their contact information on their website and send them an email about how, you know, what your app does, you know, why it's unique, why it's different. Is it free? Is it paid? And, you know, and just hope that they will review it because, you know, these websites get hundreds of submissions a day, I'm sure, for all kinds of apps. So a lot of them will get thrown in the trash can, but, you know, certain ones will get through. And these websites actually, you know, are looking for content. You know, this is their business. They want to review apps and cool things. So that's definitely one way to do it. There's a link where there's like 150, I think, websites that review apps. And I'll give that to you, and you can probably put it in the show notes if you want.
Okay, really perfect.
It's a cool resource where you can just look. I mean, there's bigger websites like Gizmodo, Engadget, Mashable. They do app reviews as well, but of course, they're massive websites, and they could probably get tons and tons of submissions. But I mean, they do reviews, so it's worth a shot sometimes to pitch your app to them.
Right, doesn't hurt to ask, right?
It doesn't hurt to ask, and you know, there's a lot of free ones that are out there as well, smaller ones. If you maybe have a sort of an app that targets a certain market, you can maybe reach out to bloggers in that market as well.
Okay.
Offer them a promo code or let them know about your app. And then maybe, you know, they'll do a review and mention it on their blog. That's another way as well.
Okay, great idea. So that's cool that they give you the flexibility to, you know, to discount it or to give a promo code kind of on mm-hmm. a targeted basis to help gain some initial traction there.
Yeah, it definitely helps. So if you have a paid ad, make sure you include that promo code when you're sending out emails to different people to review your app, because you want them to be able to try it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Walk us through your month of glory a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was so the first weekend sales were pretty good, you know, like a few hundred downloads a day. And but then by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it started going down, down, down. And I think Wednesday I hit like $70, which, you know, if before you told me I would be making $70 from it, I would have been really, really happy. But I just didn't like how it was kind of declining every day. So I thought, you know, this is going to be the end of my nice little run. It's going to get lost in the App Store forever. Oh, well. But then on Thursday, Thursday is when Apple updates their App Store. And so they change all the featured apps on their front page.
Okay.
And so I was checking the App Store on Thursday, just like I always do, to see what they feature. And I noticed that my app, Photo 365, was in the new and noteworthy section.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And I was checking on my iPhone, so I could see it right when I opened it to the App Store. It was right there on the front page. So you didn't have to scroll down either to the very bottom to see it. So I had really, really good placement for the app as well.
Wow. And they just selected you kind of on random or based on the number of downloads over the weekend? Or how do you think got selected?
I have no idea how I got selected. I don't know. I don't know how they found out about my app. I'm not really sure. I'm sure they have some way, but it's pretty much a secret. No one really knows how or why they pick certain apps.
Okay.
So it was a big surprise.
Okay, so that obviously is going to have a big impact on the number of downloads.
It was huge. I mean, I was getting to about almost $1,000 a day from that feature.
Wow.
It was like Christmas for me. And so that whole weekend was amazing. I mean, just checking my sales numbers every single day. And then the following Tuesday, I was at home. It's my day off from my restaurant job. Mm-hmm. So luckily it was my day off. So I'm at home, I check my email, and I see this email from Apple Marketing. I'm like, this is interesting. And I read the email, and this they said, hey, we're from Apple Marketing, and you know, we love your app, and we might do a promotion for your app, but we need some art assets. We need some ads designed by you. I'm like, oh wow, this is interesting. And
okay.
You know, blah blah blah. And so I'm like, is this a scam? I didn't know if it was legit. I didn't know if it was legit. So I Googled it. I didn't really find much information. So I went on this forum where I had been active in with other app developers. I'm like, hey, I got this letter. Is it legit? They're like, yeah, definitely. You know, don't ignore it. So. I had 19 hours to get it all done. So they didn't really give me much time. And I'm not good at Photoshop at all. And I definitely needed someone who was really, really good at Photoshop. So thankfully, my brother went to art school. So he is, you know, a master at Photoshop.
Okay.
And so I contacted him. I let him know what was going on. That night, he went after work. He, you know, was on Photoshop and he was creating, you know, what these graphics for me, and he'd send them to me. I give him feedback, and the next day I zipped everything up and sent it to her, and then just waited, you know, and just hoped that they would feature it, because they may or may not use it. That's why I had heard from other people, and sometimes they don't use it at all. So the next day, so it was a Wednesday when I submitted it.
Okay.
Now, Thursday again, when they update the App Store, I was at work this time. It was during our break between lunch and dinner, and I was checking the phone. And I saw that my app was featured this time as App of the Week.
Whoa, okay.
Which is huge. It was like this huge banner on the iPhone. And I was like, I was jumping up and down like I had won the lottery, but you know, it was like the app lottery.
Yeah, so winning the app lottery.
It was so exciting. I know the people I work with were like, what's going on? Why is he jumping? Why is he screaming? But I was so, so excited. And you know, I was on Twitter, I put it on Twitter, and people were sending me congratulations, and it was amazing. I was like the whole night at work, I was shaking. I was literally shaking because I just could not calm down from being featured. So you know, of course sales went up even higher from there. I think my highest day was like $1,900, I think. $1,900. Yeah, it was my highest day.
You pay back all your developer fee in one day.
In one day, exactly. So I had paid back my $1,900 in about a week, I think.
Wow.
So before, yeah, it was amazing. So I was featured in the app of the week for 1 week, and it was great. And after that, I knew it was only going to be a week. And then after that, I got featured in What's Hot, which is another category.
Okay.
But I learned What's Hot is not as hot as New and Noteworthy and App of the Week.
Right,
so,
right.
It was great. So after 30 days, I checked my sales, and I had made about $30,000 in the first 30 days.
Wow, that's just nuts. That's awesome.
It was absolutely nuts. It's so hard to believe, even when I tell you, about it now. It's still like, wow, did that really happen to me?
So how long after that, like what was kind of the drop off after that? And at what point did you feel comfortable, leaving the restaurant job?
The drop off, the app, of course, I knew it would decline. So it just kind of went down for a while. And then January, it sort of picked back up because it seems like everyone wants to start a photo project at the beginning of the year.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, and then, the sales were great. I wish sales were like the first month every single day. I would have quit a long time ago, but I still had bills to pay. And then basically what I was doing was, the money I was making, I was just reinvesting. I was putting it back into that app and then making new apps. So, okay. The following year, I made another app, a gratitude journal app, and just trying to, create this like network of apps and the app store. So it took me a little bit longer to quit the restaurant job. I think I was a little bit scared of the steady paycheck because, it's nice to have a steady paycheck.
Right.
But quitting, you're sort of on your own. But finally this year, earlier this year, I figured I needed to go full time into apps and blogging. So I left the restaurant job earlier this year.
Oh, cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So has building out a portfolio of different apps kind of helped smooth out the peaks and valleys of the earnings?
It has. I mean, I've had some hit and misses with my apps. Like my first two apps are still probably, they bring in probably like 95% of all my sales.
Okay.
I have two more apps after that, which they literally make like a dollar a day. So it's not really much.
Okay.
They were good ideas. I was excited by them, but they just didn't really turn out the way I thought. So, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say because it's hard to gauge like when app sales will pick up and when they won't. I know for my gratitude journal app, it's pretty steady throughout the year, but I know my photo app always picks up in January and February.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, now it's August. So it's kind of like dipping down a little bit, but it'll pick up towards the end of the year and then the beginning of next year.
Okay, cool. Did you ever end up porting any of these over to Android?
I have not. And I know a lot of Android fans that follow me always want these apps in Android, but I just haven't yet because I know from what I've read, like the Android market, although it's growing and it's huge, people aren't as willing to pay for apps in the Android market for some reason. I don't know why.
Hmm.
So the money is still with iPhone. I mean, iPhone developers still make the most money on iPhone. So that's why I haven't gone to Android yet. I mean, I do want to. I definitely do want to, but just not yet, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder how much it would cost to kind of port it over.
Yeah, I do wonder too. I've talked to my developers I have now about doing an Android version, and it's not as easy as just changing a few things and then boom, you have an Android version.
Yeah.
They've told me basically they have to create the app from scratch again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to get it on Android. So it's pretty intensive. So it's going to cost a little bit of money, but I'm not really sure how much yet.
Now, are you still working with the same guys from Ukraine?
I'm not. I let them go last year sometime. I think it was last year. Sometime last year.
Okay.
And the reason is because I found out that after a while, getting them to do work was really, really slow. Like I would say, hey, I want to add this feature into my app. It was like a basic feature.
Yeah.
And it would take months. I mean, months. I was like, oh my gosh, this is taking forever. And I was just really unhappy with the pace of it. I mean, I was paying them for the work, but it was just taking so long. And, you know, I don't like change. I'm just the type of guy, like, if I find someone good, I'll keep them forever. But for them, I just said, hey, guys, you know, I have to let you go. It's nothing personal. It's just I just have to. And they were understanding about why I had to do it. And I think they were taking bigger projects. They were taking, like, projects with bigger budgets. So my app was, you know, sort of pushed aside. And so I went back on Elance and posted another ad. And luckily, I found this really, really amazing team that that I've been working with since then. And so it was actually a good thing that I let go of my other team, because this team, I think, is a lot better.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So what an awesome side hustle story of, you know, kind of taking over the app market for a little while. Do you think this is still a viable side hustle if somebody has an app idea or can improve upon an existing app to kind of follow in the same path?
I definitely do. I mean, a lot of people think it's too late to get into the app store, but in the app store is, you know, it's still relatively young. And although there's a lot of apps in the app store, honestly, a lot of them are just really, really bad. So there's still, I think, room for someone to come in with their idea and do a really, really nice app. So I think it's definitely a good viable side hustle, but I will have to say that you're definitely going to need some money to invest, because if you're going to be outsourcing it, it's going to cost you, you know, a few thousand dollars probably at least for a really quality app.
Right. Well, I was surprised to hear that it was only $1,900. That seems pretty, low, actually.
Yeah, it does. And then again, that was back in 2011. So, you know, I think rates have definitely gone up. And also, I think at the time they were a relatively young company. So, because they told me a couple, like a year after, like, hey, if, you know, if we were to do Photo 365 again, it would cost probably around $10,000.
Wow.
That's what they would charge. Yeah. So
now it gets a little bit more serious. You got to sell a ton of 99 cent apps to recoup that.
You have to be really, really, yes, exactly. And you have to be willing to risk, you know, $10,000 on it. So, so I found, you know, rates now are definitely a lot higher than before. $1,900 was a really good deal back then.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the marketplace Apptopia?
I do. Yeah. Apptopia is really, really cool.
Have you ever bought anything or sold anything on there?
I haven't bought. I did put one of my apps on for sale there. It has not been bought at all yet. But okay. I'm looking. I look all the time for apps to see if there's any good ones to buy that maybe can fix up and resell.
Yeah. So Apptopia, for anybody who doesn't know, sorry, I should have explained it. It's like Flippa, or it's like kind of a marketplace for buying apps like that are already. They're already completed. So you get the whole package, and they just transfer everything over to you.
Yeah, it's a really great website. It's a good way to also just get started in the app business. You can buy an existing app that's already done and then just, you know, upload it. Or you can take an app and then sort of reskin it, like maybe change the design, you know, add certain features to it and then upload it. So it can save you a lot of time and money.
Yeah, versus starting completely from scratch. I think that's a good idea.
It is, but also you have to, you know, if you go on Apptopia, kind of beware of some of the valuations people give for their apps. I mean, I've seen some apps that, you know, their monthly revenue is like $50, but they're selling it for like $100,000. I don't know how, you know, they're going to sell it for $100,000, which I don't think they will, but there's some crazy, crazy numbers in there.
There really are. They're proprietary, you know, 6 month projected revenue numbers are like, where are you getting this?
I know, exactly. And, you know, I've emailed the founders of, you know, Apptopia before just to get a value for my apps. And they're like, yeah, you know, we let, you know, they'll give, you know, sellers an idea of the value of their app, but then it's ultimately up to the sellers how much they want to sell it for. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what they told me too was, you know, whatever the suggested price is, like, don't pay any attention to that. I mean, make an offer, make an offer based on what you think is worth, and kind of start the negotiations from there.
That's a good idea. It's a really good idea.
So what's next? What's next for you? You got more app projects coming in the works?
I do. Yeah, it's a busy time for me actually with apps. I just came out with a new app. It's a calculator app. It's something I wanted to do because I just wanted to, again, redesign, I guess, the calculator for the iPhone and the iPad. There's a lot of calculator apps in the App Store, but I just wanted to come up with a different design. So I took inspiration from, like, old school retro calculators and sort of put that into one app.
Okay.
And so I have that. And then I'm doing a redesign of Photo 365 because, you know, I'm sure as you know, and maybe some of your listeners, you know, they're updating the iOS in September to iOS 7.
Okay.
Which is going to be a completely new redesign. I mean, like, it's going to be a whole new look to iOS. So basically what they're doing now is they're going with the flat look. So before, I guess a lot of apps would have like textures and they would look more realistic, but now they're going towards more of the flat design.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So
do they give you, like, as a developer, do they give you a preview of the new OS?
Yeah. You can, as a developer, we've been able to download the newest version of it for the past couple months already to be able to test it out. And then you can start programming for iOS 7 now.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, I'm sure we'll see a lot of apps, popular apps in the App Store now that will start to redesign just to fit the new look and feel of iOS 7.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'm working on that for Photo 365, like a whole new redesign. So it's like a whole new makeover for it.
Yeah, get it ready for the New Year's rush.
Yes, that's the goal. It's one I'm definitely hoping for, and hopefully doing more apps after that. I have some other ideas in the pipe. In line, but definitely just keep on doing what I'm doing. And then also I have an app course which I developed, which I teach people how to develop an app through outsourcing.
Okay. Yeah, we'll link to that too. That's on, is that through your site or where is it?
I hosted it on udemy.com. Have you heard of it?
Oh, actually, yeah, we had Ari Mysel on last week, talking about how to sell on Udemy as another side hustle. I love it.
Yeah, he's got his course is really good. He's got the productivity course, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I went through his course. It's really good. So yeah, that's another great side hustle is Udemy. I mean, you can. It's really, I like it because it's an easy way to start teaching because you don't need to set up a membership site. You don't need to worry about, you know, which credit card processing to use. And they help you with promotion too. There's a lot of marketing that they will help you do for your course. So it's pretty good. So I have my course hosted on there.
Oh, awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Very cool. So we're going to wrap things up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation and then kind of give a shout out for where people can find you online.
My number one tip is take a risk. I mean, just if you have an idea to do something and you've been wanting to do it, take a chance on it. I mean, because like for my iPhone, I wanted to do it. It's been something I had in my mind. And it was a risk for me at the time because it was $1,900. I had no idea what to do or how to do it. And, you know, I didn't want to lose the money, but I was willing to risk losing $1,900. It was sort of like going to Las Vegas and betting on black, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, it ended up being a completely life-changing investment. So that's an awesome, awesome suggestion.
Exactly. And so people can find me. They can go to my blog. It's getbusylivingblog.com. And you can find, you know, links to my social media there. You can find a link to my course, App Academy, as well from there.
Cool. Benny, thanks so much for coming on and sharing all this wisdom on app development. A ton of great stuff.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay. Well, that one went a little bit longer than our normal episode, but there was really too much good stuff in there to cut anything out. Links to everything are at sidehustlenation.com/episode17. Go there, check them out, and let me know what you think. So beyond all of the great tactical tips that Benny shared, there are a few themes that I wanted just to revisit real quick. First one, no need to reinvent the wheel, just make improvements. Photo 365 was not the first or only daily photo app, but still found massive success. Number two, outsource what you can't do yourself. Specialization of labor is a good thing. You have to know what you don't know and find somebody who can get it done for you. Don't make any bet you can't afford to lose. Benny says take a risk, but make it a calculated risk. He didn't bet the farm, and you don't need to either. Thanks so much for listening. That's our show. Until next time, go out there and make something happen, and I'll see you next week in episode 18.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.